Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe McGranahan is dumbfounded across from me, but he's
here. Just dumb.
Okay. All right.
Hey, you don't have to agree with me.
All right. I do not agree with you. You are not dumb. You are smart.
Forgetful.
All right. But Mr. Joe is here, and that's the important thing. And Mr. Rob Center is our fabulous producer on the other side of the glass, so we got the dream team here this morning, so we're very glad to see everybody on the radio. We got a couple of emails pending, so we will read those. We're going to enjoy open phones for the first hour today, and then at 9:30, U.S. Congressman Fred Keller is going to be here from the 12th District. He is making the best of his available time in the summer by visiting all kinds of places all over his big 12th District. Boy, he can go to Lake Wallenpaupack, he can go over to Monroe County. He can visit a lot of places while he's in, stay in the district. So he's making a stop here. And then, of course, he has other visiting spots on his itinerary as his opportunity exists in the summer to visit with the constituents as a U.S. congressman. So that'll be at 9:30 this morning. We're going to ask him about the sale of Greenland, if he favors that, so we can find out if he likes that idea.
I don't know. The prime minister's nasty.
Oh, did you hear that? So the nastiest man in the world.
She's nasty.
The nastiest man in the world calls out
somebody else
for being rude.
Right.
Jeez Louise.
That is a classic case of the pot calling the kettle black.
Well, you know, and the funny thing is, I mean, if President Trump is mean and nasty, okay, that's his nature. Half the country wanted him to be president, you know, despite all of that, so that's fine. But then to say, oh, my gosh, we found somebody in the world who treats us rude.
You know, he is, while all of that stuff, I tell you, I've been bouncing back and forth in the mornings between MSNBC, CNN, and Fox. And it's funny because yesterday he had apparently had one of his impromptu meetings in front of the before the helicopter took off.
Mm-hmm.
And he was referring to taking on China. And he said like this, he turned his head and said, I am the chosen one. And, you know, to take on China, nobody else would do it. So when CNN ran it, they just ran the part that he said, I am the chosen one, like he was saying, I'm God.
I'm the sun, I'm the moon.
And CNN at least ran the entire quote, and you could tell he was being, you know, kidding about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you just take it out of context, that's classic. Mm-hmm. Taking something out of context.
Taking one. Yeah, for instance, I'm a perfect man, but everybody knows that's not true. So, of course, when they air the cut, it's just him saying, I'm the perfect man.
Sure.
So,
He does. I mean, he did call the prime minister of, Norway? Not Norway. Denmark as a nasty woman. And the reporting this morning was on the number of other women he's referred to as nasty, including Hillary Clinton, Kamala Harris, Pocahontas, Rebecca Warren. I'm not going to say Pocahontas anymore, although she's apologized now. Did you see that?
Oh, right. To Native Americans. Sure.
Right. A little late, but better late than never. So.
Well, yeah, that's true. So she should have apologized last year rather than find out that it's actually impacting her presidential run and then apologize.
She should have apologized when the results of that DNA test came back.
Mm, okay. Well, yeah, right. That was true. Yeah, but I think she found out that it was. She thought it wasn't going to impact her presidential aspirations.
But it is.
Because it would be a year later. But now she finds out through polling that it is. So, of course, out comes the apology.
And now they're cutting back on Joe Biden's schedule to cut down the number of gaffes he can make.
Well, this is a bigger story than the other stuff we've mentioned. The president calling someone nasty is not unusual.
That's like man bites dog.
So
the dog bites man.
Dog bites man. But
this is more like man bites dog.
All right, well, let's get to that in one split second. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Do please check them out at sunburymotors.com. And there just is no automotive transportation need that cannot be resolved. involved at the Sunbury Motor Company, and they'll take good care of you there, and they would just love to meet you. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can call us now, 1-800-795-9565. We have a couple of emails pending. I see the word property tax in one and minimum wage in the other, so we can...
That's leftover business from yesterday, which we can dispose of quickly.
All right, so we will do that. They arrive here by being sent to On the Mark at WKOK.com. You can join the growing list of individuals who send us a message for us to read on the radio. Send it to On the Mark at WKOK.com. If you do not wish that we read your name, just simply do not sign it, and then we do not read the name of the individual who sent us that email. So you can sort of stay anonymous with good, valid comments here. I mean, we get some emails we can't read on the radio that are anonymous, but these generally we get pretty good comments. We hardly ever get an email we just plain can't read, right?
Seldom.
Some we're not quite sure how to read, but we get them. We read as best we can. You can text us at 70236. All right, let's do the emails.
All right.
We had a good conversation about property tax. One of our listeners yesterday suggested, after David Rowe, the new state representative-elect, was here, he said property tax would be a priority. One of our good listeners, Al, said, well, let's make it so that after you've paid off, or at some certain threshold, I added the payoff of the value of the home, that property taxes would be eliminated. Most individuals who responded said, no, that wouldn't work. And some folks said, it's just an obligation to pay taxes. You know, suck it up. That's the American way. We had a lot of calls for different types of either assessment or property tax reform. And to that end, Dave sent us a note.
Right. Dave on the Hill says, the state has a property tax rebate program if you meet certain income levels, but you have to find out where to get the forms and send them after you've paid all the taxes up front. If you don't have the money up front, you're in trouble. They should have a way to reduce the payment to begin with. That's his comment.
Well, and there is one other program. I believe gambling money does work that way. Your property tax bill actually gets reduced before you see it. You see that, you know, X $100 or whatever it is. In the case of my lovely bride and I, $32 gets reduced from our property tax thanks to the billions of dollars the state's taken out of the economy for gambling. but
that was going to be the boon that eliminated all of those taxes.
Right. Ours.
But it was a big pot of money, and the state, our legislators discovered other things they could do with it.
Right. So they've been reallocated.
In some respects. One of our other writers says, the problem with minimum wage is that the left is trying to coerce us into believing that you should be able to start and raise a family with your first job and that you deserve more income as your family grows. People are now given to believe that they are owed an allowance from the womb to tomb, cradle to grave, nanny state. Good point.
You think?
Yeah, I do.
You think people expect that and they deserve
it? Well, I mean, they keep talking about, you know, the minimum wage needs to be family sustaining, but a lot of people, that's the first job they get.
Mm-hmm. I try not to.
So should your first job, did you expect your first job to pay you a family sustaining wage? Mine sure didn't.
No, my first job was a CETA job. Remember that? The Comprehensive Employment Training Act?
Oh, yes, I do recall
that. Yeah, had a couple jobs. Worked at the Sunbury Community Hospital in a CETA job in the kitchen. But in any event.
Well, my first was scraping rust off pipes in the old water filtration plant in Harrisburg, working for the city.
I hope you wore a mask.
Well, believe me, it was pretty filthy work. But I was glad to get it, and it paid minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
And it was summer employment, you know, and I was glad to have the money.
You weren't expecting a family-sustaining wage?
No, I wasn't. I didn't have a family at the time.
Oh, okay. Well, the writer, you know, has a commonly voiced sentiment that, you know, we're coddling people too much. But I just hate to summarize what people think. I know what I think of them, and I know what I think they think. And, you know, like if I think that they're expecting everything to be a nanny state, you know, cradle to grave being taken care of and taking good care of my family, I can certainly have my thought, but I'm not a mind reader, despite the fact that I claim to be sometimes, and I try not to summarize what I think. You know, I know how Joe thinks.
Contraire, my friend, you often mischaracterize me going into the break when I can't respond.
But that's more of a conversation starter than an actual prediction of how you are thinking.
Well, I mean, you look at the cost of some of these things. We did that story the other day where we talked about the cost of what is being promised by the presidential campaigns.
Trillions.
On one hand, you have the Democrats saying, well, President Trump is just spending us into oblivion. He's costing us all this money. Our debt's rising. Now they're projecting the debt could reach $1 trillion next year. Oh. $1 trillion in debt.
Well, we're already a trillion. We're 22 trillion now. You mean a trillion more in 1 year?
Yes, a trillion in a year.
In 1 year, okay.
Right. So that's pretty frightening when you stop to think about it. But then you look at all the things the Democrats are proposing, the Democratic candidates, and even the things President Trump's proposing, and you've got a lot of money that isn't going to be made up unless something is done about the taxes or reducing expenditures. It's just not going to happen.
1-800-795-9565. It's funny, President Trump proposed a payroll tax decrease again. But
well, he's backed off that now. I mean, it's almost dizzying watching him propose something and then take it back and propose it and take it back.
So he's not. Oh, okay.
My head is spinning some
days. That's news to me. I didn't realize. I was just going to say, because that would, you would presume, depending on how it was implemented, would add to the deficit still
further.
Well,
he said the other day he was thinking about it, and then another helicopter news conference, he said, we don't need it. We have a very strong economy.
All right.
So you figure it out.
Lance, you're on the mark. Thank you so much for calling in.
Okay, well, first off, I have some other things. You know, to kill a babe in the womb, you got to be pretty doggone nasty. And our president is not for doing that. So that's just the way I feel about that. And yesterday, apparently, well, I didn't hear it. Tom called in taking umbrage with something I said. Do you remember what it was?
No, he didn't take umbrage. He took umbrage.
Okay.
All right. Show.
Hey, you know, every time I do that, I'm married to a school teacher, and she always corrects me on every word I say that's wrong.
So does my wife. That's how I learned.
Oh,
anyhow,
really?
What he was taking umbrage about, and I think Mark has called it up here, if I can expand
just
it.
Just the knife part.
He says, let's see here. Knives and hand. Okay, here we go. Knives and handguns are an up close and personal way of homicide.
We'll
apples
start at the beginning.
Well, the whole thing.
On another note.
All right. On another note, Lance brought up the knife deaths. While it's true that knife deaths are more frequent than all guns, it's also true that mass murderers don't go to Walmart and throw knives at the rate of 1 per second. As a matter of fact, knives aren't used at all in Walmarts. You didn't see that, but Mark's pretending to be throwing knives.
Pew, 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 pew.
Knives and handguns are an up close and personal way of homicide. Apples and oranges, Lance. Nice try, Lance, but once again, you look exceptionally silly defending mass murder while being a staunch opponent, abortion opponent, and I believe that's spelled hypocrite. About a year and 3 months remain till the election. At least 26 arrests since Dayton, threatening mass shootings.
Okay. Well, I wasn't referring to handguns. What I was talking about was a representative who was pointing out that you could buy a shotgun at the flea market without any kind of paperwork. So I was explaining about shotguns. I wasn't saying anything about a handgun.
Okay.
If that's what it was. I'm sorry he took it that way, but I never said anything about a handgun.
Okay. What else?
Well, if you think about a murder every, what, even last year we only had 600,000 or so abortions. That's still one about every 45 seconds. That's real murder there, pal. When you consider... how many mass people die in mass shootings? Worst we ever had was 115 people. Worst. That's bad enough. I mean, that's horrible.
I was watching MSNBC, and I'm sorry, CNN, in one of their panels yesterday, and someone brought up the fact that it was a very heated panel about, you know, there are 30 people killed in Chicago last weekend, murdered by gun violence. Nobody's talking about that, and of course the left-leaning hosts became enraged that they would dare to bring that up at the same breath as a mass murder in Dayton or in Texas. But the point is good. I mean, if you're going to be concerned about gun deaths, then you need to be concerned about every gun death, not just the ones that fit your narrative.
Well, and really, every death that is sudden and violent, the same way as what a shooting is. See, every day, 10 people die because of, like I said, drunk drivers.
Right.
If we could just stop that, it would be wonderful. So here we have... almost 30 times more likely to be killed by a drunk driver.
You really ought to record this and just send us the recording. We could play it back from time to time.
Yeah, send us a note. That's right.
Please play my recording. Well, but see, people want to drink. They want to enjoy beverages. Now, it certainly is tragic when an innocent victim dies because of a drunk driver. But if I get him, you know, if I go to a party and get drunk and drive home, I'm volunteering to do that, not with the hope of crashing and dying, but it's sort of, you know,
or of injuring someone else.
Definitely without that idea. But if, you know, I volunteered to do that, so that's what I want to do.
I understand that, but don't you think that we could make those people that do that think twice when they start to think that I'm as deadly as a mass shooter when I do this? Otherwise, wonderful people.
Well, let's take it out. Let's put it in context. You don't wave a gun around to have fun or to relax or to enjoy time with friends, but it is possible to have a drink and do all those things. To relax and have fun with your friends, but waving a gun around doesn't enter into that equation. So, I mean, you're comparing apples to oranges. Yes, people abuse alcohol, people abuse cars, people abuse rocks, people abuse knives, people abuse guns. You know, it's all bad. You know, bad behavior is bad behavior, and I don't think we should condone any of it. But we can't legislate it out of existence, Lance, and we can't pretend that we can't take a false equivalency and say one is worse than the other. They're all bad.
All right. Thank you, Lance, for calling in. Very, very, very much appreciated.
One thing to consider, please.
Hurry up.
And that is that the person who is, you know, knows they're going to drink and drive, that they know that what can happen and I can kill somebody doing this.
And the person who waves a gun around that's loaded could think the same thing.
Thank you so much, Lance. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We will be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome aboard WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. We got a call coming in and another one waiting. David, you are on the mark. We started out talking about President Trump changing his mind. I guess changing his mind on the tax cut. That's the latest. Joe, he's not interested in that now?
No, he says we don't need it now.
Okay. David, you're on the mark.
All right. Good morning on this last hot day of summer. I want nobody complaining tomorrow morning. As far as the payroll tax, that was done one for a year by the previous administration, and it really wasn't the great savior of the middle class that they talked about. It actually was detrimental because you're talking about taking away contributions to people's Social Security fund, and the people that rely on Social Security as their sole retirement, it hurts the most. So that's probably why the president, after talking with his advisors, you know, everybody's pushing, well, let's do a payroll tax cut like they did before. No, it's not a good idea. I don't think we need it. And it's the wrong way to try and stimulate the economy. You know, you got to pay yourself in this world. You know, as far as the firearms that they talked about earlier, CNN had just had a thing on this morning between 8 and 8:30 about firearms and purchasing a firearm through the use of the internet. And you know, you do that, but they said, and I was giving them credit there for a while, the firearm does go through an FFL dealer who does the final transfer, which is the truth. You can't buy a firearm and have it shipped to you, shotgun, rifle, or pistol, as an FFL dealer. I know that to be fact. But then they said in the final seconds, but there's ways around it. Well, I've been a dealer for 27 years, and I know no way around a background check through a firearm purchase through an internet clearance house. Now, they're just not way. The ATF has a list of every firearm I get from the wholesalers and the distributors. So within a matter of a day, they could be at my place, pull out the list, say, where is this firearm? And if I say, well, it's not here, I'm in trouble. And so is every other firearms dealer who's reputable. And they're subject to prosecution, incarceration, and fines. And when it comes to abortion, the abortion people, the far liberals say, well, it's just a background check. Why won't you do it? Why don't the far left liberals say, well, let's just eliminate partial birth abortion. Oh, we can't have that. It's an interference of our rights, of our reproductive rights. Abortion is not a reproductive right. It stops a beating heart. Planned Parenthood just showed that they can do everything they want and still promote abortion without the federal government. So it just tells the hypocrisy of Planned Parenthood. You know, Donald Trump will be the nominee for the Republican Party again, and he will be reelected president. And someplace like myself is running for delegate, and I am committed to Donald Trump and keeping this country going strong and straight and along the right handles, you know.
All right. Well, thank you. I agree with you on everything you said.
You agree that President Trump should be reelected?
Well, no, I agree that he will be. He just said that he will be. Well, he also added he should be. I don't think he should be, but I do think he will be.
And why would you say that? Why shouldn't he be reelected?
Oh, my gosh, because of everything.
What? No. Give me three specifics that you think prevent would...
Well, I guess I'm stuck on his abhorrent behavior, the Muslim ban, the... let's see. What?
Liberal talking point there.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, the
travel ban.
This is a talking show. The Muslim travel ban.
His abhorrent behavior, the travel ban, and what's your third thing?
Oh, my gosh. Give me a minute. Isn't that funny that nothing comes to mind after I talk about it every single day?
Well, let me address the first two. All right?
Well, actually,
Donald
we got
Trump
another
is
caller.
The most honest politician
David, I have to stop you. David, hello. I have to stop you.
Yes.
We have another caller, so I do have to take that caller. That's our protocol.
So I disagree. So. Well, I'll call you next week, and we'll discuss those points.
Or you can email us at On the Mark.
I'll give you 4 days to think about it.
All right. I'll have a list.
I'll keep him on task. I'll make sure he puts that list together.
I'll have the six things I dislike about President Trump ready. Christy, you're on the mark. Thank you so much for calling in.
Good morning. Yes, I was listening to Lance pontificate about how alcoholism and alcoholics, to a degree, are on the same line as mass shooters and abortionists. We work in the addiction field. That is so misconstrued. To go have fun, they don't get in their vehicle and deliberately go out and target people. Addiction is a disease, and this is part of what we do. We try to educate the mass population on ignorance of what addiction and mental health disorders are. And obviously, a lot of your listeners are struggling with that because people don't choose to be addicts. We don't wake up in the morning and say, oh, guess what? I'm going to be a junkie today. That's not how this works, nor do people with mental health disorders. So I would encourage your listeners to become more educated and to come to things out in the community and learn the severity of addiction because, yes, we talk a good game, meaning the population, but until you live it and you learn about it, you are very uneducated. And again, you criminalize people who have no intent to become criminal.
Well, thank you. Yeah, excellent points across the board.
But yet when they get behind the wheel having consumed alcohol or go out consuming alcohol and knowing they're going to have to drive home, they have formed an intent to break the law. They know the law is against that, and they choose to do it.
Yeah, that's Lance's beef.
Absolutely, but they also have a disease that clouds their mind. You've never had a drink and gotten behind the wheel?
Well, I wish I could say I never.
How about the people who are now using medical marijuana? Do they realize how easy it is to get a DUI? But again, there's liberals. Oh, medical marijuana is going to change the world. No, we're continuing to perpetuate sickness, that perpetuates inequality, that perpetuates discrimination. People need to become educated.
So you're opposed to medical marijuana?
Absolutely.
Really? Why? I mean, almost everybody today.
It's from an addiction field because it's harm reduction and it's not addressing the problem.
Oh, okay. Well, what if it helps an issue, like if you have cancer and you get medical marijuana to help you with nausea or something?
That's a completely different harm reduction and actual. Right now, the laws for medical marijuana, any single person can walk in off the street and get a medical card.
Right, that's true.
You know that a DUI on marijuana is 0.5 nanograms, and that's not even taking a hit off of a blunt.
So, boy, so many topics. Well, anyway, let's get all the way back. You started out talking about Lance.
I've never taken a hit off a blunt, so I wouldn't know. But
Lance is big beef. It really doesn't.
Okay, Bill Clinton.
Lance's big beef doesn't really have that much to do with alcoholism or addiction. His main thing is individuals who may or may not be alcoholics, probably aren't alcoholics, voluntarily drink too much and then get behind the wheel of a car. Drunk driving is more prominent, and the number of his main beef, if I could summarize it in one sentence, is the number of individuals killed by drunk drivers way exceeds that of any form of dangerous weapon that we're trying hard to regulate.
And I understand that, right. But there's a small population of us who are striving to help those people to not make those choices. And if more people would become educators and work to help people instead of condemning them, things would be a lot different.
All right, noted. Thank you so much, Christy. Thank you so much
for calling
in. I really appreciate it. Call again. We do need more education, and we can undertake that. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. We're enjoying open phones at 9:30 this morning. U.S. Congressman Fred Keller makes a stop on his summer tour here. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe McGranahan is with us. Rob Zetter's our fabulous producer. It is the On the Marker show sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Please do visit www.sunburymotors.com or you can visit the Sunbury Motors dealership on Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf or on North 4th Street in Sunbury. Our toll-free line is now open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. You are welcome throughout our program to do as one individual has done, and that's email us at onthemark@wkok.com. I see the word wages there, so I would think that would be the related topic that's being discussed there. And let's see. Oh, you can text us at 70236. That's the Text Connect system. Do as thousands of people have done. Sign up for Text Connect. We send you breaking national or local news alerts. We tell you about closed roads, weather warnings that pop up. That's what you use Text Connect for, where we notify you. You give us your cell phone number and we send you a text if and only if some of those criteria are met. And 10 to 12 text messages a month is the average, sometimes fewer, rarely more, but it certainly is possible. But always breaking news information that has to go out. And so we do that. But it's two-way communication. You can reply to a message at any time, and we get it here in the On the Mark studio. We would also see it in the newsroom. So it's an opportunity for you to reply to a text message for us. All right? We would just love to hear from you. In the news, we have a Northumberland Road Project update. We contacted PennDOT's Mindy Forsman, and she says, here's the first update. They are ready to run those temporary traffic signals in Northumberland. The three temporary traffic signals will be turned on today so that they are in flashing mode. That way you get used to the fact that they are there. And then they'll be fully implemented and going through their normal cycle next Thursday, August 29th. The signals are located at Water and Orange, Orange in front, and Duke in third. So she says that is part of the normal up ramp of that work there. Now, she's going to be on WKOK Sunrise Monday morning at 7:10 a.m. You'll hear that information. So we're going to go over some of that. So you'll hear a recorded interview Monday morning. If you would like us to ask a particular question, email it to newsroom@wkok.com. Only two minor injuries were reported after two vehicles collided head-on in a PennDOT work zone. It was flaggers who who helped contribute to the accident, according to state police. They say Monday afternoon on Crotzerville Road in Snyder County, one car was driving through the work zone when another one was flagged through. Sealands Grove troopers say Deborah Swanger of Winfield was injured in the crash. Randall Schultz of Sunbury not injured. PennDOT not commenting on their ongoing investigation there. Marathon efforts to open the new Luzerne County Community College, Greater Susquehanna Center, paid off yesterday during a big ribbon cutting. The Warrior Run superintendent, Dr. Alan Hack, says he's... Can we help you, sir?
Sorry.
Jeez.
Malfunction.
Joe's over there watching cat videos. So anyway, Warrior Run School District Superintendent Dr. Alan Hack says he's glad his old elementary school building is being repurposed.
I think that was one of the challenges when the building closed 3 years ago, when we wanted to be able to give back to the community. So having the IU in here last year and this year and being able to bring the college here is just remarkable for everyone in the district.
To help cover the operating costs and reduce student tuition, local counties are being hit up for $100,000.
By Labor Day, we will get the official request out to the counties. Then we'll start working with the school districts and then also doing some private sector fundraising as well. And that'll all happen during the month of September.
For the upcoming semester, students will pay an in-county tuition of $134 per credit, but that could be reduced if and only if those counties chip in, says Bob Garrett of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. Finally, Christy Brinkley, Hannah Brown of The Bachelorette, and former White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer are among the contestants on next season's Dancing with the Stars. Now, I've never watched the show. I think this is the one that Tom Bergeron does, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So I once watched an episode so that I could imitate him for a skit at church. So Dancing with the Stars is a very popular show on ABC. They announced their celebrity lineup, including Sean Spicer, who I never thought of as being a good dancer, but maybe he is. The season kicks off September 16th. He quit as press secretary 6 months into President Donald Trump's presidency. His gaffes at the podium have been legendary, and his holding onto the podium so much that it occasionally moved became a frequent topic of a Saturday Night Live skit where he would move around, where the podium began to move around the room. And the other people, Lamar Odom, Mary Wilson, Ally Brooke, Kate Flannery. None of these. Oh, James Vanderbeek, I know him. That's from Dawson's Creek.
Not familiar with any of these people except Spicer.
Well, you saw Dawson's Creek, the TV show.
Never watched it.
Oh, my gosh. Holy smoke. It was great drama.
Sorry, not
did
my
did you
cup
watch
of tea.
Melrose Place when it was
no.
on? Oh, my God. Joe, I know you watch good TV, but you're missing some really wonderful bad TV. All right, so anyway, Sean Spicer going to be on Dancing with the Stars. We have open phones, so we have talked about President Trump's presidency. We have talked about minimum wage, and we've talked about property taxes. Bill is on the line. Good morning, sir. Thanks for calling back. You're on the mark.
Hey, good morning, Mark. In regards to the topic you had earlier, as far as the border security, and I'm getting the impression that you're all for open borders.
I'm for open borders.
You are? Yes.
No,
yes,
don't be ridiculous. Come on, seriously. Now that's a talking point.
Seriously, you made a statement that you're against the president for the Muslim ban.
That's true.
President Obama, before he left office, was letting 100,000 Muslims come into the country. President Trump came into office and he stopped it because 80% of them were going to be like teenage boys and men that had fake documents, and it wasn't going to let the proper families in. And then Trump just wants accountability, and he wants 500,000 of them to come in, but he wants the right people to come in, the families, everybody that's documented, not the young radicals that were losing their battle, and all of a sudden they wanted to jump forward and come over to America on open borders and cause all the be lone wolves. That's what he was stopping. And you said you're against number two. You said number two, you were against the Muslim ban. Well, that's the reason why Trump put the Muslim ban on, to protect you, me, and everybody else. Some of my friends, Muslims and Spanish, are best friends of mine that I go hunting and fishing with. And they feel the same way. And I trust my life with them.
Well, I think if you would listen for a second, I think the way the Muslim ban has been implemented, I don't think that's a terrible thing. He's chosen countries where from hence terrorists emanate, and they get additional scrutiny. So that is fine, and probably well, it's hard to say for sure, but it's probably working. It's probably helping. It's probably one of those common sense things that makes us safer that Senator Toomey always talks about. But when he started out, he said, we have got to ban Muslims from coming into the U.S. That was his original statement. So that's wrong. I don't agree with that. You should just carve out a religion and say those individuals shouldn't come into the country. I am not for open borders. I have always supported the idea of strengthening our border security. Less so because of illegal immigration, more so because of homeland security. So I definitely think a strong border at the Mexican border. You know, if I can be in, let's say, Tijuana, and I don't know if this is the right location, and I can have a dirty bomb, and I can arrange to be taken over the border, or maybe just do it myself somehow, somewhere, that's completely wrong. And so we should beef up that security. So that's my response. Two of your assertions are incorrect. Let's try for a third. Go ahead.
All right. One other thing is I like to give Trump all the credit for waiving all the student debt for all the veterans that were hurt, the disability veterans. He's eliminating all the debt that they have, for fighting for the country.
So if you're a Purple Heart recipient, your student debt can be waived? Oh, okay. Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah, he just did that last night, yeah. Executive order that, and I think that's a great thing. He's taking care of the vets.
What about calling the Prime Minister of Denmark rude and nasty because she won't sell him Greenland?
She called his offer ridiculous.
Right. Yeah, so they're going back and forth. What about his comment? You think that's the decorum of a president that we should have?
Listen, I would rather take a president that may say something out of line but is 100% for the people, all the people, and not on the take. And you'll see the on the take when this coup gets exposed that he has done so much for Americans overall. And that the bottom line, that the numbers count. And what he's doing with the numbers, he's holding China accountable. He's aligning all our allies. They're going to hold China accountable. $500 billion a year we're losing, we can wipe the national debt out in a generation.
Well, I think what Mark's point is, if I can interject, I've been listening to the two of you go back and forth.
Between videos.
Between my cat videos. But I think the real issue to me is that many of the things President Trump has done are good things. And if they were done by a man who had more decorum or was more thoughtful in his approach to interpersonal dealings and relationships. No, I'm not going to say presidential because, frankly, every president defines what presidential is. But, I mean, if you could take that the tweets and the Twitters and the stuff away from him and the name-calling and focus on what he's done good for this country, I think his approval rating would be around 60-65%.
I agree.
We'd be like a Reagan or a Nixon.
I agree 100%. Yeah, there's a lot of tweets and stuff he says. I don't like 100%. I really don't like. But I back him as far as what he does. Yeah, he's a man that's for the country, and he's a deal maker, and he's going to make the best deals for this country. I mean, he's proven that.
Well, Bill, you and I are closer to in viewpoints than you think. I definitely think that he's done a lot of good things for the country. There's no argument there, one of which relates to the economy. Economists will tell you, and people that are these talking heads will say that most of the economic measures that he's taken, if he had done the opposite or the wrong thing or nothing, the booming economy would slow down. And so the tariffs have helped the economy. Wages are going up. Of course, joblessness, as you know, is significantly lower than it was in years ago. So all of that is good. I can identify six terrible things the president has done, and I'll do those on Monday, okay? All right. Well, Bill's way over his one-minute limit, but we love a good conversation. So, and there was, at the time, no one else waiting, but now there is. So we're going to take a break. We got emails. Bill, thank you so much for being
a fabulous
listener and a great caller. We'll take 100 of them, and they have to call 1-800-795-9565. They have to email us at onthemark@wkok.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Thank you so much for calling us back, or calling, listening. There we go. I'm reading the email.
You're having a little trouble over there now.
1-800-795-9565. One of our listeners very smartly points out, what happened to your one-minute callback rule? As per Bill, that was another 3 minutes for him. Are you going to allow others the same chance when calling back a second time in the second day? Dick, what happens is if somebody calls back and they're on topic that we are discussing and no one else is waiting and we have time, we're not up against the break, we have no hurry, and they are engaging, Joe and I, and they are listening some of the time, as Bill did. We don't have a one-minute limit. But if other callers are waiting in line, we'll use the one-minute limit. Or if you're right in the middle of our minimum wage discussion and you want to talk about NORI traffic and it's your callback, then we would probably keep it down to one. But if you're going to be participating in right in the heart of our show and no one's waiting.
Right. Primarily, if you're on topic.
Right. Yeah, on topic. And listen, I like that, too, if people aren't just doing a diatribe.
Right.
Next is number two. Dan, you are on the line, or you're on the mark. Go right ahead.
He's also on the line.
Okay, good morning, guys. Well, your caller right before break made the indication that some of us are uneducated or undereducated in alcohol. Maybe she was referring to like Lance. But I agree with Lance, and I agree. Another thing, I refuse to take a drink. I refuse to touch alcohol because any one of us, we don't know which one, we're apt to become an alcoholic, as I call it, a drunkard. So if we don't take that first drink, we make the right choice, we're never going to have that problem of becoming an alcoholic. And the same goes for a lot of vices. If we stay away from the vices, there's no chance we'll become addicted and become a menace to society. So it's a choice we all make, to make the right choice, not to drink, not to smoke, not to use marijuana.
Okay.
And that's a choice we all can make. There's better things out there than alcohol. There's better things than marijuana. There's better things out there that can satisfy the soul deeper than alcohol. And do you know the difference between an alcoholic and a drunkard?
No, but I'm sure you can tell me.
Yep. The alcoholic's the one that goes to them meetings. A drunkard don't.
I got you. All right. Noted. All right.
Assume you're referring to AAA.
Yeah, that's AAA. Correct.
Not AAA. That's the Automobile Association.
Well, everybody.
Double A. I guess the Alcoholics Anonymous is.
All right. All right. We got you, Dan. Thank you so much for calling in. Thanks for being a fabulous
listener.
You bet.
You guys have a great one. Good to hear from Fred Keller today.
Yep. He's coming in. If he's not already.
All righty.
Thank you. Let's see. Chris, you're next up. You're on the mark.
Yes, Mark. I think you better study up on your economics. Tariffs haven't helped the economy at all. They've hurt the economy. We're giving $16 billion to farmers because of the...
Oh, tariffs. I got you. I thought you said
because
terrorists.
Because of the tariffs. And they've hurt every place they've been put on.
What?
Yeah,
no, that's left wing propaganda. Left wing propaganda.
It's not propaganda. It's not rocket science.
It's real.
It's basic economics.
It's real.
You add an extra tax that the Americans pay for a product, it hurts the economy.
Well, how about this? If the tariffs haven't helped the economy, they have helped in the strategy that President Trump is doing. I could certainly agree for farmers that tariffs have upset the balance.
Yet to be seen. That's an empty promise so far, and it also has made the world economy a lot less stable. And that's a risk to the economy as well. And when things are unpredictable, businessmen do not want to... You're not going to start a company because Americans can make a product that can sell now when you know the tariffs can be taken off at any second. You're going to end up with a company that's going to go under as soon as the overseas product becomes cheap again. And everybody knows he changes his mind every time the wind blows about just about everything.
And we know business,
at least his pronouncements and threats of what to do.
Business people hate uncertainty. All right, the congressman's going to be here shortly. Wrap up, please.
The tax thing, that didn't help the economy. The bringing money from overseas didn't help the economy because the way he did it, it just made businessmen do stock buybacks. That's where 80-90% of the money went, not in creating new jobs. And all these factories he talks about opening, that are opening for manufacturing jobs, try to find them.
All right, we have to take the congressman's visit. Thank you so much, Chris, for calling in. Paul, we're going to have to catch you on the flip-flop, as they say, so please call back, and unless you have a question for the congressman, we're going to have to move on. We'll take a quickie break. U.S. Congressman Fred Keller standing by. There will be a segment of open phones during this, so we will open the phone lines back up. Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. One other note about tariffs. One of our good listeners says, yes, the tariffs are hurting some industries, but the U.S. steel industry booming thanks to the tariffs. All right, so that is good news. U.S. Congressman Fred Keller is here, 12th District Republican, freshman congressman in Washington, D.C., enjoying some good leadership opportunities. You want to start out with something important that you want to tell us, or an opening statement or anything like that?
Well, I would just like to say that August is our district work month, and we've been spending the month getting around to all points of the district, listening to what's important to the people of PA-12. It's been a really great experience, and it sort of validates what I think we already know, that they're very thoughtful, hardworking people that care very deeply about their communities and are very willing to share their ideas. And that's really what's great about having the opportunity to represent the people of PA-12 in Washington, D.C.
Well, you know, Fred, this program has been dominated over the past few weeks and almost the past 2 years by comments about President Trump and his perceived erratic behavior, according to Mark. You know, you've had a chance to see Washington a little bit more up close and personal than the rest of us get, and dealing with the administration and the people in it. What is your sense of President Trump, honestly, off the record? Well, not off the record.
I'll just say this. You know, I've had the opportunity to meet the president. I've had the opportunity to speak to the president a couple times. And I'll just tell you about the first time that I spoke with President Trump on the phone. The last thing that the president said to me was, please tell your family I said hello. He has always been a gentleman. He's always been thoughtful. I think the problem that people run into with the president, and it's particularly people that don't agree with his point of view and want to have that small sound bite, is the people that disagree with the president, they take him literally and not seriously. And then reasonable people will take him seriously and maybe not literally, because I know there's been some things flying around the press about, you know, what he said on tariffs and how he's managing that. So I think that's an important distinction. And he may be unconventional in some ways, but quite frankly, any Republican candidate that runs for president of the United States, and over history, I mean, they didn't speak – kindly of President Reagan until after he's been out of office. They didn't speak kindly about President Bush 1 or Bush 2 or 41 or 43, however you want to do it. But they didn't. And President Trump's a little different. I mean, they have the playbook on every other Republican presidential candidate, and they didn't on Donald Trump. He has taken the liberals' game to them. And it's the game of labeling somebody, defining them, and then putting it out there. And they don't like it. And Mark's shaking his head no.
Well, that's ridiculous.
No, it is not ridiculous.
The liberals didn't call other leaders nasty. And I'm like, well, I don't even know where to be. His behavior is erratic. But I'll agree with the other part of what you said.
I didn't say anything about other leaders. I said about other candidates that were running for president. Honest, I didn't say about other leaders, Mark. I mean,
he's the most irrational president we've ever had. But if all you look is outcomes, let's suppose, like, the news cycle were mute for 24 hours instead of, you know, all this coverage about everything he ever does. And all you ever hear about are outcomes. You know, the president did an initiative. You don't know what it is till a day later. And then you look at outcomes. Well, he's got dozens and dozens of things that are good for the U.S. and for the economy, and a few things that I would disagree with and that are bad.
Well, again, I don't know that we agree with anybody 100% of the time. I love my wife dearly, but we don't agree 100% of the time. So to say that we would agree with everybody 100% of the time is not realistic. So to your point, he has done many good things. And let's take a look at what's happening. We've got a booming economy. We've got the lowest unemployment rate since I was about 4 years old. Earnings are increasing more than they have over the last 15 years, 10 to 15 years. Yet, there's people that want to detract and say the president isn't doing a good job. I mean, are there things I would do differently? Absolutely. And so I think you need to look at everything and recognize, which some people cannot recognize, when the president does things that are positive, simply because they don't want him to be reelected, so they don't want to give him any credit for doing anything.
But Freddie does seem to contradict himself quite a bit. I mean, he'll say something today, change it tomorrow, go back the day after. Is this deliberate, or is this trying to keep everybody off balance, or does he have a trouble hanging on to one particular course of action?
Balance.
No, the thing, you know, you were talking about the, you know, tax cuts again, that he mentioned something the other day,
right,
about tax cuts.
And then backed off of it.
Well, did he back off, or does he throw something out there to discuss it and have a brainstorming session and see what ideas might come out if he says an idea? I'm not going to try and get into President Trump's mind, but I'm also not going to accuse him of being erratic or anything else. There's a lot of times in business, and, you know, you might have a brainstorming session, and maybe the president just does that out loud, and because there's so many people and cameras around him, it gets picked up.
Well, true enough, but, you know, it's somewhat disconcerting because, let's take, for example, one of our listeners asked the question about universal background checks. When those mass shootings occurred, he was in favor of it. Then he has a call from Wayne LaPierre, and now he seems to be backing off of that. I mean, you know, can we count on what he says, or should we just assume that everything he says is just open for discussion?
Well, again, if you want to say, can you count on what he says, when he ran for president, he said he was going to do certain things, and he's done those things. So, you know, having a discussion on where we should be, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So I don't think the president is somebody that doesn't, you know, that wants to say something and not do it. I just think that sometimes when you're talking about rights and policy, you know, you need to make sure you understand everything that's in that policy.
Well, he said he was going to balance the budget, and I know you for a long time. I know you're conservative fiscally, and that Fred Keller doesn't spend money he doesn't have.
I don't spend money. I'm not in the game of spending money that the taxpayers don't have. I mean,
okay.
I saw a good quote one time from a friend of mine. It was probably 5 or 6 years ago. It says, "We can't spend what you don't have." And
but he's talking about the forecast is that next year's deficit in 1 year could hit $1 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he said he was going to balance the budget. He hasn't done that.
Well, let me just, you know, back up the train here on something, and let's talk about what's happening in Washington, D.C., okay? A couple things. We had the debt caps and, you know, raising the debt ceiling vote, and I voted no on that, and I know that some Republicans voted yes on it, and the president signed it. I also went on to say that I don't fault President Trump for that. That's the best deal he was going to get. You know why that's the best deal he was going to get? Because he's got Nancy Pelosi running the House, who is not bringing up things that she needs to bring up. She is particularly, if you want to talk about not getting things done, Speaker Pelosi is not bringing things up that are important to the people of PA-12 or the United States. And one of those is the USMCA agreement, and that is the trade agreement between the United States, Mexico, and Canada. She's not bringing that up. We need to get that done. That would help our dairy farmers. They have Class 7 milk in Canada, and the way it's done, because we don't have this agreement in place, our farmers are hurting being able to sell some of our dairy products in Canada, among other things. Mexico wants to get it done. Canada wants to get it done, and Speaker Pelosi doesn't.
Well, there's tons of things in the Senate that aren't being brought up that could be. Gun laws is one of them. That's a stuck topic.
Well, again, we can talk about gun laws and everything, but I want to be perfectly clear on this. Every right we have has a responsibility. And someone's rights should not be taken away from them unless they have displayed they are not responsible to have those rights. And I know we shared some information before when this came up, and I'm a pretty reasonable person as I worked in things on Harrisburg with House Bill 2060, which was protection from abuse when people demonstrated that they did things that would make them surrender their firearms. So, you know, I look at that. So when you look at what we check, I mean, and I don't know if you've looked, I know I've given you the report before from Pennsylvania State Police, and there's a whole litany of things that they check. Are you aware of that?
Oh, yeah. I'm familiar with the PICS and the NICS system and all
That right there.
Yep.
Everything they check. I mean, I could read through the list of things.
Right. No, it's comprehensive. I don't think anybody says that our comprehensive background checks aren't sufficient.
So what I think we need
There's
to
just
do.
Too many people that don't need to take them. That's the dilemma.
Who doesn't take them?
People, I sell you a gun privately out in the parking lot somewhere.
A person selling another person, an individual sale like me giving a gun to, and again, personally myself, I wouldn't do it without a background check. I mean, if I sold,
I know Joe,
and if I was going to sell a gun to Joe, he would go through a background check. But, you know, when we look at the people that are creating these horrible, horrible situations by killing people and creating terror, I think we need to look at other things because a lot of times these people have gone through a background check. We need to look at the things that are radicalizing these young, in a lot of cases, young men into committing these acts. And let's go after the root cause rather than the instrument which someone's using to create terror and harm.
So when it comes to common sense measures that would make us safer, you are for three measures, let's say,
well,
that would help.
Again, I'm going to say that we need to look at why making us safer. Okay, one of those things would be taking a look at how people are being radicalized on the internet. That would be one measure, and making sure that we put things in place that prevent that stop websites or social media that does that.
And websites can do that. We know that to be true.
Yes, I mean it's been done. I mean you look at some of the people from the last incidents and what happened to the websites that they visited and so on.
But look at what did happen. The president came out immediately after those two mass shootings and said we need to look at tougher universal background checks. Then he gets a call from Wayne LaPierre and suddenly he seems to be backing off of that.
The NRA told me to vote no on this.
Well, I don't know what conversation or what phone calls the president got and what made him say what he said. And again, I'm not going to ascribe motive or get into that. I'm going to simply say that when we are talking about our Constitution and rights that are given to us by our Creator, guaranteed in our Constitution and paid for by generations of veterans, we need to be very careful that we don't take somebody's rights from them without due process.
All right. So we need, I said three things, maybe expanding background checks. I'll ascribe that to you. But what about, what else? Mental health issues?
Well,
where's the next step?
Well, the thing we did, and we've already put in last year's budget before I got to D.C., $33 million in identifying mass shootings and safety in areas, improving the NICS and PICS systems and make sure they communicate better. So there's some things already we can do to make sure that the communication from the local level all the way up through the federal level takes place so that local law enforcement, so that state law enforcement and federal law enforcement can communicate and make sure that we can stop these things before they happen. I don't know that it's necessarily more checks. It's making sure that we are sharing information, making sure that everybody has the tools necessary to make sure people that want to inflict harm on another, regardless of the instrument they want to use, or stop from doing it.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. We're going to open up the phone lines. U.S. Congressman Fred Keller is here. We'll take a shortened break. We will be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KFK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Call us now, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. We have a terribly long traffic backup in Danville this morning. Route 11 northbound has about a 10-minute delay. Traffic going inbound into Danville on the Danville Riverside Bridge has a 20-minute delay. And Route 54 westbound, about a 15-minute delay just to get to Riverside. So if you're going west on 54, you got a half-hour delay in front of you. Might be faster to just go to Sunbury somehow if that's your ultimate destination anyway. But that is because of PennDOT line painting just off the Danville Riverside Bridge. So do be aware of that.
I've been bouncing back and forth on the coverage, Fred, in the mornings between MSNBC, CNN, and Fox. And I notice MSNBC and CNN have been really focused on the fact that the president's behavior is becoming more and more irrational in their view. And they attribute it to the fact that he's worried about the economy, that he thinks he sees signs out there the economy's going to the tank and that would kill his reelection chances. And the other thing they say, is that he is just can't focus.
Well, again, I think there's a lot of times that, and a lot of things, people have been trying to make sure President Trump doesn't get into office. Okay, so he won the election, and then we went through the Mueller report, and then we went through the hearings in the House, and we went through all these other hearings trying to get President Trump out of office. They've been unsuccessful, okay? And now we're going to try and scare people by the economy. If you look at Credit Suisse, international bank, who has been tracking economic data since the 70s for 45 years, and if you look at all their indicators don't say this. So here again, I think it's people trying to create a narrative and get people to believe things are bad, you know, because sometimes perception becomes reality. And, we've tried to do so many things. And, again, I think it's people trying to discredit or people that aren't happy that President Trump is being successful. And quite frankly, some of these people are not only want to see the president out of office, want to see him out of office so badly, want to see him not get elected so badly, that they are putting in danger the economic success of many American workers and families.
Well, given what you said, do you see any chance for anything positive or meaningful to come out of the next session of Congress?
Well, the current session or the next session? I could look at a lot of positive things that would come out of a session of Congress if we could take back the majority and really work on getting things done. But when we've got leadership in the U.S. House of Representatives that is continually rehashing things with the administration, that the Attorney General and the special counsel, which everybody was touting, have said there's been no collusion, there's been no obstruction. You know, if we want to get stuff done, let's call on Speaker Pelosi to bring up USMCA. Let's call on her to do it. If she's serious about America and getting things done, because you look at the tariffs and you look at China, if I'm China and the United States can't even get this done with Mexico and Canada, they're neighbors, why in the heck does China have any incentive to come in and work on a trade deal?
You think China's holding off, hoping the next election will produce a different result?
I've heard Vice President Biden say that other world leaders want him to be elected. Vice President Biden said that. You know, what I would be concerned on other world leaders wanting to weigh in on who our president is. because our president doesn't represent other countries or other world leaders. He represents the United States citizens.
Well, there are some people who disagree with you on that. They believe the president is a tool of Russia.
We already had hearings on that, guys. Come on. The special counsel already did that.
All right. One of our listeners who would like you to know how he feels says, universal background checks now! Exclamation point, capital letters. All right. So now you saw that. Let's see. Dale, what is your question for Congressman Keller?
Hey, Fred. Yeah, I think Fred's doing a good job. At least he's not scared to speak up. But, Fred, with the Fed talking about the deterioration of the economy and worried about losing rates and the poor getting poorer, we're heading for, like, the rich and the poor. We're trying to, like, wipe out the middle class because what I see right now is no support for private sector jobs. And what I see is...
Dale.
I see the economy. I see the economy collapsing.
Is there a question there, Dale? We need a question.
Yeah, yeah, Fred. I want to know, since federal income tax is illegal in the United States, how come it's constantly being enforced? I mean, it's basically states never signed up for it, and it's still being enforced. The federal income tax.
All right, he's heard your question, Dale.
Okay, of course, federal income tax and the IRS. You know, federal income tax started around the early 1910s. You know, around 1913 or 14 sometime. Prior to that, much of the revenue was generated by tariffs and stuff's goods coming into the United States. So, as far as the economy, looking at the economy and what's happening, we've been traveling the 12th Congressional District, and I have heard multiple times from small business owners that the tax cuts have helped them reinvest in their businesses, update their machinery, hire more employees, and increase wages.
But he's saying the tax code, I guess, is illegal. That's a broader, simpler question.
Well, I guess, how the federal government, he said the states didn't sign up for that, but when you look at the Constitution and everything that happens, I mean, while we may not be happy with some of the decisions and things that come out of the IRS, I don't think that the federal government is running an illegal operation.
But the president, when he sold us on the tax cut, he talked about its benefits, and one of those benefits was supposed to be that in the long term, it would reduce the national debt and it would provide more money into the Treasury. But that hasn't been the case.
Well, I wouldn't say it hasn't produced more money into the Treasury. Okay, let's take a look at those numbers. But is our deficit increasing? Okay, because we continually spend more than the growth. Okay, you know, we can go back to the, you know, when I was in Harrisburg and we talked about the, you know, the structural deficit. And the point is, it's not a structural deficit. The point is that our spending continually outpaces our growth. And, you know, if that's the cases that we're looking at, I know you're looking through some papers there.
Yeah, I'm looking through because one of the things...
He has his facts straight.
This was a list of all the things that the presidential candidates wanted to do and how much money they were going to spend if they adopted all of the things they wanted to do. And the president was on the list as well. He's talking about things that could cost about $267 billion more. You know, some of them are in the trillions. Bernie's in the trillions, and Kamala Harris is in the trillions.
The thing you're supposed to look for when you want to spend money is make sure the revenue's there and looking for offsets in other areas. I mean, we're going to go back into D.C. in September and be looking at the flood insurance program, national flood insurance program. And I know that Representative Waters wants to expand a bunch of programs in that. But currently, right now, we've got to look at the financial state of the flood insurance program and make sure that the benefits that are currently promised under that, we can meet those should we need to do that.
I noticed that Representative Waters wants to look at flood control. Get Waters, flood, okay. Mm-hmm. One of our listeners says, is Mr. Keller representing the GOP or the people of PA-12?
Well, I think that, and Mark and Joe, you and the people that know that I've represented Union and Snyder counties for 8 years, and a little over 8 years in the General Assembly in Harrisburg, know that I'm an independent thinker and I listen to the people and make informed decisions. You know, if I was just going along, and again, I made mention that I didn't support, you know, the recent budget, you know, raising the debt limit and the budget caps. And I know there are other Republicans that did, and I know the president.
But you
president
support
signed
the,
it.
You support the president. He came here and campaigned for you. You didn't say anything. Well, hey, half your policies are flawed, or I would veto them if I were congressman then.
Again, when having constructive dialogue, where we want to try and get to a solution. Is one that I would want to. I'm not going to come out here and say things, that I wouldn't have the opportunity to discuss with the president himself. So I just, if we want, we often talk about why things don't get done. I mean, I'm not just going to come out here and say things because somebody thinks I should or shouldn't. I'm going to say what's right. I'm going to look into the policy. I'm going to listen to the people. But I think a lot of times we don't get things done is because people go out and they say things. And then it isn't conducive to being able to sit across the table
right,
from someone
hold on, Joe.
And look for solutions.
One of our listeners says, universal background checks, never capital letters, exclamation point. So there's the other, those two constituents offset each other. Real quick, Joe.
Well, from the president's standpoint, his White House has been described as being in turmoil. There are a lot of posts that are being filled by acting directors. That's not really good for the country, is it? I mean, don't we need some stability in the cabinet and in the people that are working for the president and advising him? I heard, and specifically, the one question I heard asked this morning, is there anybody surrounding the president now who can tell him when he's doing something that might be wrong, then that he'll listen to?
I think that the president would listen to that. And again, I'm not in the cabinet meetings. I'm not in on those meetings with other people. But I think the president's reasonable enough that if you can articulate why you think differently, he'll take a look at that, and then we'll come up with policy. So again, I don't think it's fair.
Or a tweet.
Well.
Not a policy.
Well, I'm going to tell you something about Twitter, and somebody explained this to me very well. The way people get their information today is much different than it was when we got right. it from the news. The news is much different. I mean, come on, the news is no longer news; it's commentary. Let's be
no argument.
It is not news. So when you're trying to make sure that you can get people to look at your media, because we're all inundated with information, and you want to get your information out there, you've got to come up with a sound bite that is very short that somebody's going to take a look at and say, yeah, I want to learn more about this. Might not be the way I would do things per se every time, but understanding the age in which we live and how media is transmitted and information's gotten and news has gotten, it is different now then, because some people, as soon as they disagree with somebody, they call them a name, and that comes from the left. I disagree with my policy, so this person is XYZ.
Right. Can we follow you on?
And they do that. And they do that. They do that to stifle the person and get people not to like them. Kidding. And Mark, you can disagree with me, Mark, but that's what happens.
Can we follow you on Twitter?
I'm just running
Fred?
The show.
I'm on Twitter.
You're
I'm on
Twitter?
Instagram.
Okay.
And I'm on Facebook.
Joe, you
got
to follow his tweets. Do as I do. Dan, you got about 30 seconds to ask a specific question of the congressman.
Hey, good morning, Fred. I'm proud of you and Trump. Doing a great job for
it's
America.
Not a question.
My question,
not a question.
Is the investigation into the Department of Justice that tried to have a silent coup to overthrow the president. How's that going, Fred? And I'll get off the air.
All right,
and
thank
listen.
You. Investigating
well,
DOJ.
I think the fact that Special Counsel Mueller came in and testified before the House and really I don't think it produced the fruit that the Democrats hoped it would. I think that probably speaks much for itself. The fact that we've already litigated all that stuff in Congress and in through the Special Counsel's office. I don't know litigated was the right word, but we've gone over it multiple times in Congress. I think we need to focus on the items